everyone, and welcome back to HOA It's a True Story. Today, we're speaking with Andrew Fortin, Senior Vice President of External Affairs for Associa, and his involvement with National Night Out. We're pleased to have you and Kelly Zibel, our regular guest of DC Group. Welcome you both to HOA It's a True Story.
Thanks.
Bill, it's good to be here.
So, Andrew, we always start off wanting to find out how you became involved in the HOA industry, and sometimes it's some of the most interesting things we hear. So,
yeah, you know, it is an interesting thing because I think we all struggle with nobody yet, and this will happen someday, I hope, sets out with the goal of being in the HOA industry, right? It just kind of happens. And for me, I spent a majority of my career in Washington, D.C. I was chief of staff for a member of Congress. I was a government affairs professional, went to law school there, and I had a job in the private club industry. So representing city clubs and golf clubs, it was a subpar job. Get it, right? A little rough, right? But it was a really fun job. And actually that connected me with CAI, right? Because I went from the clubhouse kind of to the gatehouse, possibly. I had done that for 6 or 7 years. And there was an opening at CAI for a government affairs professional. And the folks in the club industry who knew Tom Skiba reached out to Tom and said, hey, if this guy applies, he's a good guy to have. And I'm forever grateful for Tom Skiba at CAI and for Don Bauman, who's also a great leader there, for pulling me into this industry. It has been I've been in the industry for 17 years now. It has been quite the ride. I think for the first year, I was always trying. I was like, what have I gotten myself into? I need to get out of this. And then something clicks and you realize, no, this is an amazing industry of people who are trying to make their communities a better place to be. And it's just been a wild and incredible ride since then.
That's great. That's a great story too.
So how'd you end up from CAI at Associa?
Okay. Well, without being too promotional, at CAI, I worked with legislative action committees and CAI chapters all over the country. And as you guys know, just really great organization, really great people trying to make the industry a better place, right? We have people serving on their boards, making that a better place, CAI making managers and board members better educated to serve their communities. And wherever I went, there were always people from Associa involved in CAI, mainly because Associa even then was a big player. We're even bigger now. And one of the things that struck me about this industry is it's still relatively young. And if you look at how industries kind of evolve, young industries have a lot of players, right? And then over time, as that industry becomes more regulated and more technically difficult to operate in, right, with the advent of technology and all this other stuff, you see consolidation. The metaphor I like to use is the cell phone industry in the 90s. For those of us, Kelly, you probably are too young to remember, but for the rest of us.
I was not too young to remember.
I was not either. There were like a million cell phone companies, right? And if you left your town, you were paying roaming rates and all this. And now there's AT&T, there's Verizon, there's a couple others. And really thought that that was what was going to happen in this industry. It is, it's ongoing, but Associa was well positioned for that. And I was really flattered that they asked me to come here and build out a government affairs operation for them. I think it's important for any management company or HOA to be involved in that legislative process. Because if you're not at the table talking about these issues, you're going to be on the menu, right? You're going to be what's served for dinner because there's so many stereotypes. I think they're wrong. I mean, we have some bad boards, but they get so much attention that I think our good boards and our good management companies and our good managers need to be engaged in that process. And so I built out a government affairs program for them and then had other duties as assigned added to that. Now I do PR for them. I do crisis management. I run Associate Cares and Associate Cares Canada, two of the largest charities in our industry, and a bunch of other things. And I have gotten to work with some really great people, both inside our company and outside our company. It's been just a great blessing for me.
We had Kelly on not too long ago about testifying in front of the Capitol folks. Important part of, you're right, of everything should, more people should get involved. So you heard talk about National Night Out. Explain what it is and how common this is and how associations should think about it.
Well, you know, what appeals to us about National Night Out is it works to connect communities with first responders, primarily police, but other first responders too, to build a dialogue to foster greater understanding between law enforcement and the communities they serve. National Night Out was founded in 1984 by this gentleman named Matt Peskin, who's still involved in that process. I believe it was found in Columbus or somewhere in Ohio. It's since spread across the United States. And in August, most years for most of the northern states, right? I'm in Texas. It's hot as heck down here this year. So in Texas and maybe Arizona, some other states, they do it in October. But they set a day where communities can do an event and invite law enforcement to see their community, to get to know people. Some communities, it can be sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce. Sometimes it's an HOA. The folks just get together to try to understand each other better. And I think if you look at how different communities perceive law enforcement based on just their histories, right? And we saw that come to the fore with the Black Lives Matter movement in 2000 and things like that. There is a desperate need to build that understanding because I think we're all safer, whether we're people who are hesitant to reach out to the police or people who are comfortable doing that, just to build that understanding and remind each other that we're here to support each other to create safe communities. For us, you know, we take this really holistic approach at Associa to serving communities, right? We serve them as managers and we get paid to do that. But we also feel that our responsibility as folks who serve communities is to leave all communities a better place. And so we use this, our national sponsorship of National Night Out, as a tool to serve communities, not only ones we manage, but others as well, just to kind of further that spirit of community. When we work together in our neighborhoods, you know, we make the world a much better place. And it's less difficult to do that with your neighbors than it is to do that in Sacramento or Austin or Washington, D.C. So this is one of our premier community engagement programs. And we have been doing this for longer than I've been here. I've been here, this is my, I'm starting my 12th year here at Associa. And they've been doing it since long before I joined. And it's something that we get a great deal of satisfaction out of.
Now, is this primarily for common interest developments, or there's any neighborhood group able to do this National Night Out type program?
Any neighborhood is free to do this. What we do is, you know, obviously we solicit support from the communities we serve, but we also work with cities and other jurisdictions to provide them with, you know, collateral, like fun things, like, you know, wristbands and foam footballs and stuffed animals and other things to help make it a good event for the communities that are involved. So we support the communities we manage, but we also support communities we don't manage who choose to participate. And you can, if you know, you're a community in Texas or Arizona or maybe Nevada that does these events in October because of the heat, you can just Google National Night Out and find out how you can sign up for such an event. And they really do a good job in trying to connect people and trying to promote safety and understanding between communities and those that serve them.
With master plan communities and stuff like that, and so many of our communities are gated and fenced now, I would think that the involvement with law enforcement on something like this is much more important, since typically speaking, you don't see the police cruisers driving around the neighborhood in a gated community.
Well, you know, some communities have their own security, right? But right. Also served by the police, right? They're not separate and apart from the community in which they live. And I think, you know, you bring up a good point. I talked about how this can, the National Night Out can be a tool to build understanding between communities and law enforcement to get over stereotypes or challenges that people have with the perception of law enforcement, right? And somehow some do their jobs, you know, some outliers, but I think it's also a great opportunity for communities and HOAs and planning income elements and common interest communities to challenge perceptions of them, right? Because we see that all the time. All of us in this industry decry the fact that we can't get a fair shake in the media, right? Because the media is so interested in talking about that outlier bad board, and bad boards should be, you know, they should have the light shine on them. They should be reported on. They should be made fun of. But a vast majority of the hundreds of thousands of communities out there do a fantastic job, and the volunteer boards are really unsung heroes, as are the managers. And so finding ways that we can challenge those perceptions as well, I think is a good thing.
You mentioned that an association would go on and they register to do National Night Out. What does National Night Out help them with, provide? And then I have a second question after
a follow-up question. Okay.
Yeah.
I better be ready for that. Kelly, I think, you know, for us, when communities sign up, we'll get a notice, right, if they're one of our communities, and we'll send them the collateral and some banners and things like that. And I think if you go to the National Night Out website, if you Google it, they kind of walk through what they do for you. I think in some cases, they'll connect you with events that are taking place in your area or local law enforcement. Sometimes it depends on the depth of their reach. But really, there's a lot of resources and free things and ideas that they provide to communities on finding ways to celebrate and make those connections.
So it's really a kind of a grassroots effort. You know, it's not they're going to come out and organize and do this whole event for you, but they'll help you plan your
own. Absolutely. Yeah. It's not going to be you sign up on this website and a team shows up and puts that event in your community. It gives you the resources to help build that event for your community. And if you sign up through us, you know, if folks want to, and I'll give you an address if people are interested in doing that. It doesn't matter if you're managed by us or not. We'll send collateral to help make it a fun event for your folks.
Can you share some of the kinds of events that you've seen throughout kind of your history and your role? What kinds of things do people do at these events? You know, activities or things? What are successful in associations? If, you know, I'm a manager and I'm hearing this podcast and thinking about, that's a great idea. Maybe think about doing that next year and adding it in. What kinds of things are successful here?
You know, I think building it around like a summer event, right? You know, such as like a cookout or a potluck or something like that at the clubhouse or on the common area of the community, depending on what the weather's like. You can factor in a whole bunch of things to that, whether it's, you know, like I said, like food for folks to eat. I know during the pandemic, we had a lot of communities who just did parades and the police would drive through and everybody wave and shout their support. Having Q&A with local municipal police entities is sometimes something that folks can do. And then having some events for the kids. I know one of the tools we provide to communities is child print ID kits, where the parents can take their child's fingerprints and send them to the, I believe it's the Organization for Missing and Exploited Children, who has a database on those, God forbid, if something were to happen to their kids. So there's lots of things, right? Your imagination is your only limit. Have a cookout, have a Q&A with local police, have 10 safety tips that you can do to make your community a safer place, and have your local authorities kind of talk about those things. Really, the only limit on that is your imagination.
I'd plug for CAI, since I know Don Bauman will probably poke you about this. Their July ask is to invite a member of your legislative team to your community. So if you're having an event for National Night Out, make sure you're local legislative team knows about it.
That's a good idea. You know, I'm glad you brought that up, Kelly, because that is just an excellent, excellent way to build those relationships, right? And whether it's a mayor or a city council person or a congressman or a state rep or a state senator, their teams, the people who support them, you know, their staff are always looking for ways to put that elected official in front of people they serve. And that is a great way to do it and highlight the nice things in your community, right? Whether it's, you know, here's a built-in event, just invite them along and they can chat with people, take a few pictures. And it's actually a good opportunity to have potentially some positive media coverage of your community, right? Let the local newspaper know you're hosting this event, you know, and we've invited these people. And that is a great way to get a positive story out there, as opposed to the, you know, we made the person take down whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. What kind of feedback are you getting from communities that get involved in this? You know, maybe some that you've been directly involved with through Associa.
You know, I think people have a really strong and positive reaction in general, for the reasons I think Kelly alluded to. Is if you invite these folks into the community to start that dialogue, you'll be surprised more often than not, you're going to get a positive response. And those folks are going to come out. People are going to learn what they do or how they process things and kind of challenge some of those stereotypes. And it gives the community a chance to remind itself that when you live in a common interest development, that you really have this built-in kind of social structure, right? We lose sight of that sometimes when we're focused on, you know, violation letters and HOA payments and things like that. But especially after we went through the last couple of years we've gone through where people have been isolated, creating opportunities for folks to get together and reintegrate into society. I know that's something I need, right? I forgot how to do that in 2020 and 2021. Just a really great way to remind people that they're in a community and they have great neighbors. We can have fun together. You know, I think that's probably the biggest benefit I've seen.
At my community, we don't do National Night Out just because it seems like summer is such a busy time, and we don't do National Night Out, but we do a couple other events throughout the year to try to bring people together, an Easter egg hunt for the kids in the spring, which is really, really popular. And we just last year started a holiday decorating contest, which got quite interesting and got a lot of participation in our neighborhood about that.
I love that. My neighborhood that I live in a historic neighborhood in Dallas, and I have all the requirements of an HOA, but without the local, my neighbors administering it, the city oversees it, right? Like, cause it's a historical district. But one of the things we do is we get mobbed at Halloween, right? We get, we're surrounded by multifamily housing. We're a very walkable neighborhood, and each house will get, you know, thousands of trick or treaters. So we have a Halloween decorating contest in my neighborhood. And it's just great, again, to remind us, you know, that we have a nice neighborhood. We live with neighbors who are, in general, we have more in common with than we don't. And having a fun event, whether it's a light decorating contest or a national night out event or a potluck or whatever it is, a trunk or treat or whatever it may be, really highlights the positives of community association living.
Kelly, I'll add something to your Easter egg hunt. We also, our association does a Easter bonnet contest. And both the men and women participate.
Oh.
It's become quite the little event.
Our Easter egg hunt is so popular because, you know, we've been a community about 30 years now. And our young families typically moved in here initially to start, but some of them have grown. We have some original owners here. And now they bring their grandchildren or their grandchildren come to our Easter egg hunt. It's like a big thing in addition to the, you know, the young families that live here now, which is, it's just so fun. But I think the point of bringing people together in whatever event, a national night out or any other community event is so key. I mean, I've met so many neighbors that I wouldn't meet normally through these kinds of events, and just knowing my neighbors, you know, it's so easy to go to them and say, oh, who installed the solar on your house? Do you have a recommendation for somebody? You know, you just, you don't want to contact people on social media or be a part of those Facebook groups anymore. There's all of that stuff that, you know, we've been advised against doing. And so being able to know my neighbors and just knock on the door, have their contact information is really helpful, I think, when something's going on.
Well, and Kelly, you bring up a really good point, especially I think of the place where you live, right? Like you live in an area where people have long commutes, people are home all the time. So really creating that opportunity for folks to connect in their neighborhood is a good thing and get to know each other. And I think I would say, I don't have any data to support this, so this is just speculation, but the more you know people, the less likely I think you are to find conflict in a neighborhood because you know your neighbors. And if something arises, instead of going through the HOA, you can reach out to them and, you know, that kind of thing. Like, oh, hey, you know, did you know you left, you know, this and it was on my yard, or can I borrow a cup of sugar or whatnot, right?
Well, and I think home, just my experience, associations that do events like this a couple times a year, the people want to live there. It gets known in your community as a great place to live. And therefore your price of your home is, it's much more desirable. Your prices stay higher. I don't know about Dallas where you're at, but you know, in the Bay Area, we're seeing some price changes and things change as the economy has changed a little bit this last year. So I definitely want to make sure the value of my home stays as high as possible. And by continuing to make our place a great place to live. So in addition to maintaining facilities, but having events where people can come out and meet each other and it feels like a neighborhood and a community, I think is just such a key thing to living as part of an HOA. It's supposed to be one of the benefits, right?
It is. And too often we focus on the challenges as opposed to the benefits. So the more we can structure those things that build on that sense of community, I think the more we remind people of why they choose to live in a community association from the get-go.
Is any cost to participate in this through National Night Out program, or is it just all available to folks?
It's all available. And, you know, with insurance problems and assessments and energy prices going up and just all these things, you know, water, all these things that our community boards are dealing with and budgets are dealing with, this is an easy way to build a nice community event at a low cost for your residents. And like I said, if you sign up through our team, we'll even send out a bunch of collateral that even lowers your cost even more. And some of it's good stuff, like, you know, light up balls that you can throw around, foam footballs, you know, that kind of stuff.
Cool. Well, Andrew, the podcast is called HOA. It's a True Story. Do you have a HOA story to share with us today? You got to have some.
Oh, gosh.
It's all the fun stories, you know, leading PR.
Yeah. I didn't have time to prepare one where I could adequately anonymize the participants, right? I think the thing that impresses me most about this industry, you know, is that there are folks out there, you know, I take my hat off to board members all over North America who serve on their boards. These people are dedicated to making their community a better place. They work hard to do that and they get a lot of grief and they don't get paid. So I would much rather have, if I have an issue with my house or something about my house not complying with whatever the ordinances are in my neighborhood, I would much rather have the ability to work with my neighbors to resolve that than work with City Hall, which is what I have to do. And, you know, we forget what a special and interesting thing this is, right? People govern their own neighborhoods, right? The you know, that's not done out of Sacramento or Austin or Dallas City Hall or you know, Santa Ana City Hall or what have you. It's just people taking it upon themselves to make their communities operate and work for their residents. And that is, you know, the more local you get those decisions, the better off people are going to be, at least in my years of working in government and housing. And, you know, the folks who make that happen, our managers and our boards, are just amazing people. And I'm awed by them every day that I'm at work.
Well, that's great. Well, Andrew, thank you so much for joining us today. Kelly, you as well.
So Andrew, if people wanted to reach out and get connected, can you share the website around how they'd register?
I can. So the person on my team you can reach out to is Ann Brumbalow, which is Brumbalow. And her email is A Brumbalow, Brumbalow, at associa.us. And for National Night Out.
So Ann is the person who can send the swag.
Yes.
Okay. So we'll try to remember to put Ann's information and the National Night Out website in the show notes.
National Night Out is www.natw.org.
Perfect.
Or they can reach out to inquiry@gbgroupinc.com.
Perfect.
Exactly. We'll all help. We'll all be a community that helps people build a community.
And the last thing I want to do is remind our users that if you have not subscribed, or listeners have not subscribed to the podcast, please subscribe on Apple or Spotify or wherever you're getting this podcast so that you auto-download the new episodes when they come out. One, it really helps our download numbers, but two, it makes sure you stay current with what's coming out. So please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to this.
Andrew and Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.